Hi, everyone. Welcome to our webinar today about multi-location healthcare marketing. I'm really excited to cover this particular topic with our audience today. And apparently you guys are too. We had a really good registration today. And I think you're going to find this topic very insightful and very helpful. And so we will be starting now. I am, for those of you who do not know me, I am Stuart Gandolf. I am CEO of Healthcare Success. And my colleague and friend and sidekick on the call with me today has been working with me for a couple decades and more. I'm CEO and founder of, or co-founder of Healthcare Success. And Kathy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Kathy Gorin. I'm the senior strategist at Healthcare Success. And we are looking forward to sharing a lot of experiences we have in this multi-location market and digging in. So thanks for coming today.
Great. So before I dig into the agenda here, a couple housekeeping things. Number one, yes, this call is being recorded, or this webinar is being recorded. So feel free to come back to it again and share with your colleagues. Two, yes, there will be a Q&A section at the end. So people, these are the common questions we get every time. So yes, there'll be a Q&A at the end as well. And number three, very important, the audience here, just so you know that you're in the right place, today we have a very broad audience. We have a large audience and we have a very broad audience. And so the audience includes multi-location providers of all people from organizations of all kinds. So it's addiction, skilled nursing, specialty practices, hospitals and health systems, other people too, but predominantly, as you would expect given the title, multi-location, people involved with multi-location healthcare businesses. The principles apply to other kinds of businesses, but today is truly focused on multi-location. Secondarily, we have people that are at the executive level. We have people that are in the private equity based investment sort of category. And we have marketers, professional marketers. And we have people that are very, you know, sort of knowledgeable and skilled in this area and people that are completely new to it. So it's a pretty broad mix of audience. So today we're going to cover the insights that we have from working with just so many multi-location businesses. We're an agency. We're, as it said at the opening here, truly an integrated agency. But a big part of what we do is the strategy and the understanding of the bigger picture. And so we're going to share a lot of insights. We can't teach you everything we know in 45 minutes, but we can share some important insights to help you understand the landscape today and as it's evolving. And recognize that on each of these topics that we're about to cover, can be a full other webinar. So for example, we'll talk about paid search for about 2 minutes, and we just did a webinar last week on paid search. So again, we can't possibly teach you everything you need to know in 45 minutes plus a Q&A, but we can share some really important insights on how this all fits together. And we will be giving you still a, you know, drinking from a fire hose kind of information. We're gonna hit you with a lot, and it's a pretty broad audience today. So we're gonna start off with the healthcare landscape today. And to give you a better sense of what's happening in healthcare, we're going to talk about some of the common multi-location objectives that we hear all the time. Brand architecture is a huge issue when it comes to multi-location businesses. We'll talk about websites and why they're so important. A concept that we coined a while ago, we like to call it the minimum daily requirement. We'll describe that. Talk about the user journey, paid search and paid advertising. And then some other strategies, doctor referrals and patient experience, analytics and reporting, reputation. So there's a lot there. We're going to cover a lot of ground. And in typical Stuart and Kathy style, we're going to go pretty quickly. And also still have time left over for answer question answers at the end. So excited to dive into it today. And the before I turn the ball over to my colleague, Kathy, you know, why is this even important, right? Why are we talking about marketing? And this is particularly, will probably resonate, especially with the private equity people on the call today. Kathy and I both speak at private equity conferences. We work with, by the way, multi-location providers that are nonprofit. We work with doctor-owned locations. We also work with private equity. And what I find, though, is oftentimes people are looking at, especially if they're looking at it as an investment, they're thinking about things that are really important, like revenue cycle management and collections and billing and coding and, you know, cutting costs and all those things. And those are really important drivers. We're not denying the importance of these issues at all. They're very, very important. However, I would argue, and I often do when we're speaking at private equity conferences, that marketing is really an underappreciated, underestimated tool that can really grow both revenue and profits predictably at scale. And so that's really what we're here to talk about today is, okay, you know, whether or not you're a nonprofit or doctor owned or, you know, hospital owned or private equity owned, marketing has tremendous opportunity to help drive businesses. And that's in fact increasing. And the last point I'll make here before I turn the ball to Kathy is, if you choose not to do this, just recognize that you're choosing not to, but recognize that you're also creating a void in the marketplace for your competitors. And multi-location marketing is challenging and it requires specialized expertise. And just recognize that this is an opportunity for either you or someone else. Kathy?
Yeah, great. Back one, thank you. So we also want to look at the consumer's journey. Things have changed dramatically. Can you go back one day? Thanks, sir. Things have changed dramatically as far as how we make our decisions. They're no longer patients who simply follow referrals or their doctor's orders. It's an era of consumerism. We have options online. We have options through referrals. And consumers are demanding convenience. So it's critical that you're looking at what the market is demanding and making sure you're in alignment with those expectations. They're digitally empowered and enabled. This allows them to connect with you and also review you, look at reviews, making sure that you're on all the channels and platforms that they're utilizing. They have much higher expectations. They demand more and they often eagerly explore competitive options. I have seen, I've witnessed when I've been visiting some of our clients, people in the waiting room looking at competitive options while they're sitting there waiting. They have an option to refer you positively or negatively. So that entire user journey, every touch point, every step along that consumer journey needs to be identified and enriched. You must target specific audiences and niches so that you're relating to their needs and their personal biases. It's retailization of healthcare. Next. Also, competition is increasing dramatically. I'm sure you feel it in your local market. We see it all the time. Private equity and venture capital have changed the healthcare landscape dramatically. And we work with a number of these private equity backed groups, as Stuart said, as well as those that aren't private equity backed. And one of the things that that's brought to the table is a demand for granular, very granular tracking and attributions. So it's important that we know how the campaigns are performing and that we're reporting back with transparent data that allows us to demonstrate the traction that we've been able to achieve. So tracking and analytics are critical. Stronger businesses with appropriate models have done better. Those that hire the right leadership, that execute the right types of strategies and do the right types of research in the market, also understanding competition. And then doctors are very much part of the conversation. So if you're looking at a private equity backed group of subspecialists, those physicians are still very much a part of that consolidation. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later. What competitive forces are you focused with? Is it an actual competitor? Is it an alternative solution? Or could be doing nothing? So it depends on the space that you're in. Also, private practice is consolidating at an astonishing rate. And this has been going on for some time now. Dominant players have included private equity and physician-owned groups, but we've seen the hottest segments in the highest price point. So if we take a look at the average case size within these subspecialties, that tends to drive the investors. So consumer direct women's health, vascular, endovascular, cardiovascular, addiction, and mental health is huge. Orthopedic surgery, pain management, skilled nursing. So there's a variety of different groups that our investors have their eyes on, and that continues to evolve. So the demand for specific specialties, we've seen a bit of an evolution, and sometimes they're focused on one subspecialty over another. Go ahead. And new disruptors have emerged. There's a slew of new businesses empowered by regulation changes that we saw as a result of COVID. Online pharmacies, consumer direct niches such as ED, addiction, men's health, telehealth providers, including mental health and addiction. People want convenience and accessibility. Medicare Advantage and Medicare partnerships, retail chains like CVS, Amazon, Walmart, and Walgreens. Which disruptors have applied to you in your local markets, and what have you done as a result of that? So, Stuart. So now we're going to talk a little bit more. I'm taking the next couple of slides, a little bit more about common multi-location objectives. I sit in the seat probably, you know, 5 times a week where we're talking with groups that really just don't know how to start, where to approach a multi-location plan. Their objectives remain pretty consistent. They want to grow the value of the practices through marketing, attract more demonstrable patients that they can report back, grow priority service lines, profitable service lines, enhance and build new and existing brands, or create an appropriate brand strategy for new acquisitions or de novos, including those transitions. We're going to talk about branding conventions in a minute. Promote specific locations and doctors as appropriate. We've got some groups that'll onboard a new provider or several new locations, and they want to give that area some love. So it's important that we're focused and treating each individual location or area as its own business. You want to grow your professional referrals. We like to try to encourage balancing out your new patient revenue streams into a third, a third, and a third, making sure you're optimizing opportunities for both professional referrals, actually all three, patient-to-patient referrals, and patient self-referrals. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. You want to diversify your opportunities for people to find you. Accurate and timely reporting is of paramount importance. Drive demonstrable growth and identify the most appropriate digital platform strategies and tactics for scaling. How do we know what to do as we continue to scale and grow? And then her and I had fun with this last night. Beware of neglecting your stakeholders. I mentioned that at the beginning. This is experience that we've had. If you've got 40 providers that are all being merged under one centralized brand, you're still dealing with humans that have egos associated with the brands that they came to you with. So it's important that you're in alignment. It's important they understand what you're doing. Be sure to engage them in your planning process, including setting and understanding expectations. What are they expecting from all of your efforts? Share your communications, vision, and timelines. Share regular KPI reports with explanations and adjustments so that they can see your efforts. Be sure to include marketing efforts which are visible to them, and continually market to your internal audiences so they don't feel neglected. I don't know, Stuart, how many times we've received the phone call from a client that cannot find themselves when they search. So you want to be aware of the savvy of the group, what their expectations are, and then communicate with them, give them local engagements, make sure that they feel like they're part of the strategy, or you're going to end up with a ringleader that could really cannibalize the plan.
Stuart, I was just going to say, Kathy and I, again, we do this every day. One of the keys, I think, is to, as you're navigating this, is just making sure that A, you over communicate on the front end, back end, during, and every other stage. And it helps if you end up if you work with an agency that have a partner that understands and speaks this language, so they can bring expertise to the table. What we have found from experience is that stakeholders appreciate knowledge and expertise. And so if your agency can demonstrate that, that helps with this issue because it's very, very real.
Right. And if you don't, that's what it feels like.
Yes.
Really feel like the money they're investing into their central brand is not benefiting them. And you definitely don't want them in that position.
Yep.
So brand architecture, this is also a big challenge that Stuart and I run into very, very frequently. What is your brand architecture? Do you have a centralized umbrella brand? Are you a branded house where everything under that brand or that touches that brand is part of that brand architecture? We also look at endorsed brands where the parent brand and the sub brand is both visible in our endorsed brand and sub brand options. That tends to be where we live. And then you also have a house of brands where all the brands are unique and independent of that main umbrella brand. So there are pros and cons to all of these brand strategies. It's important that you know how they will impact your local market. A couple of examples, we worked with a skilled nursing group in Florida throughout the COVID pandemic. And unfortunately, they had one location that lost 19 lives. So because they had a house of brand strategy, that news story did not topple the entire brand. So from this particular standpoint, they came to us wanting a brand refresh, wanted to have dedicated properties to the communities they were serving. It's a very local culture and feel to be admitting your loved one into a skilled nursing facility. So we were trying to capture that essence. So this was a very effective campaign that we were able to execute with individual brands in a branded house of brands. And then a branded house is essentially, as I said, everything falls underneath that umbrella brand. We had an example here previously of Pacific Dental Services as well, that also executes the house of brands strategy. So you want to make a determination on the front end of your website development and your location pages and your brand consolidation, which direction you're going to go. You want to understand what brand has the most resonance and not lean into a brand that is brand new. Stuart and I had an experience. I've got a slide in here that talks about one of the fertility mergers. So in this particular example, I'm going to share two examples. Shady Grove has got the dominant brand resonance in the United States. There are other fertility groups that have hefty brand resonance in the markets that they serve. But if you're consolidating all these brands together, would you choose a new brand, or would you fall into the brand that has the greatest, the largest footprint? So those are some of the determinations you need to look at. What's the visibility? What's the history with the brand? We worked with an orthopedic group up in the Pacific Northwest who used to be the team doctors to the Mariners and the Seahawks. They went through a merger, and when they merged, they went with a lesser known brand and lost a tremendous amount of brand equity that was affiliated with those sports teams. So you want to be very cautious when you make these decisions that you understand the brand's resonance and the implications of a brand consolidation.
Yeah, and I'll just add that we get this is at the strategic level. We work with our clients all the time. And the answer is, which is better, right? Should we do the house of brand or branded house or some merger? And the answer is, it depends on the situation. And these are very real discussions we work with clients. And we'll talk about websites in just a moment too. These are really important strategic decisions. Like, we're not worried about pay-per-click yet.
Right.
We're worried about, like, what is the messaging? What is the strategy? How are we approaching the audience? Going back to stakeholders, you know, if you're acquiring a bunch of different businesses, there's emotion wrapped up in the previous name of that business. And some, for example, private equity businesses allow practices they acquire to keep their names forever or for a period of time. Others transition immediately. There's lots of ramifications in this. And these are the kinds of things we talk about with clients every day. And there are pros and cons of each. And so when you go through this kind of process, it's really important you understand all the pros and all the cons and make an informed decision. So this is really vital to getting started.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, back to you, Stuart.
So, you know, Kathy had did a good job speaking through some of the major issues that we see every day. This is another one. So this one dovetails really nicely with what we just discussed about branding. So we see this all the time. And so there's different models here. You know, one of the things we talk about is that websites are really the epicenter or cornerstone of your marketing program. It's like everything starts there and ends there today, right? Even if people are being referred by another doctor to your business, the first thing they do is go check you out online, right? So the website is like the most important thing. And sadly, maybe at least once a month, maybe once a week, somebody calls and is like, okay, we just got our website done. Now we're ready to market. And Kathy and I are saying, no, it's the most important thing. It's not, you don't do your website, then market. You've got to think about that from the beginning. So some of the options that we work with all the time is the easiest case is when they have a single brand and they have a single branded website. It has unique look and feel. It's unified. Everything's great. That's awesome. That's really, you know, sort of best case scenario. All the SEO you have works towards one end, and it's a very clean effort. However, sometimes we have a case where we have multiple brands within the same organization. Each brand is keeping their identity. And so the discussion is, well, do we want to keep, you know, have five different brands and five different websites, which is an option, or do we want to have a singular brand, a singular website with the individual brands underneath it? The advantage of the latter is that you actually will have more, the SEO, instead of trying to optimize five websites, you're optimizing one. So sometimes we go with a hybrid approach, again, depending upon budgets and competitive forces and a whole bunch of factors. This are at the strategic level. Do we have a single branded site? Do we have an umbrella site with multiple brands? Or do we have several sites? We have different brands or different locations or different service lines. Sometimes we have many sites on a very hyper-local basis where we have different brands, different locations, different service lines. So again, that's a strategic decision. As you can imagine though, And the more you go down this hierarchy or continuum, the more websites you have, the harder it is to establish authority with Google and dominate search from a national basis. But sometimes we don't care. Sometimes we're just trying to win on a localized basis. And, you know, both strategies can work. Some are more expensive and harder than others, but they all can work, and it depends. So going back to Pacific Dental, they have, I think, 900 locations and above these days. They have to have an enterprise level system software and a lot of people to manage that. But that's a strategic decision. And it's the marketing tactic needs to be subordinate to the strategic, to the larger strategic imperatives of the business. And again, these are all the kinds of things you should be thinking about before you start building a website, right? What exactly is our larger term strategy?
And then we've also, with one of our multi-location clients, built by service line, and that's how we're scaling. So there's, again, a lot of different ways you can go. You just want to make sure you set your strategy properly in the front end so you can count on that infrastructure moving forward.
Yep. One of the things we're going to talk about in just a moment is local SEO. And so whatever decision you make about the larger website strategy, you really need to think about those location pages. They are vital for a lot of reasons, especially local search. So Google wants to know what kind of business you have. And so you want to make it easy for Google to know what kind of business you have, or you ignore Google at your own peril. So each location page has really two different objectives. One is to help Google understand that this is a business with multiple locations, and to have all the facts organized in a way that tells Google what this is all about. That's really, really important. But number two is we want to help consumers understand what is there. And so it has to be really easy, and the user experience, user interface has to be really clear. Where is this? What services are located there? Ideally, sometimes, what does the facility look like? By the way, if you do show facility photos, make sure they're good. You know, so this gets complex. If you suddenly have to take 100 photos or 100 different office shoot, that's complex. There's a lot of moving pieces here. So I would just say the point here today, and again, we can't teach everything we know in a 45-minute webinar, but the key is to have really well thought out landing pages. They are far more important than they appear on the face of it. So you need the calls to action, like book appointment. You need the information there, hours, everything that you as a consumer would want to know needs to be there. And you need a way of updating that. So, and again, the more, you know, if you have 20 or 30 locations, that isn't as big of an issue. If you have hundreds of locations, again, you start getting into different kinds of solutions. So it depends on the case, but somebody has to keep this stuff updated. And it's surprisingly often we find that when we first take on a client, oftentimes they don't know, like the marketing team doesn't have a single source of truth of what their locations are. So it's really, really important to get that down.
And I want to make this connection real quick, Stuart. So that it's like their invitation to your practice. I went on an appointment just a couple of weeks ago to a dermatologist down here in Newport Beach. On my way down, I noticed that their office said it closed at 4 and my appointment was at 4:30. A lot of people would have just turned around and gone home as a result of that. So that information is their way in. So it's really critical that it's accurate and updated. The death of that is neglect. So it's really important you have a team that's dedicated to keeping all that updated. Thanks, Stuart. Back to you.
Great. You didn't hear me, what I just said, right? I was like making sure I had a little glitch there.
Oh, there was a little quiet, but you came right back on.
All right, great. Okay, so another thing we see all the time when we're looking at websites, oftentimes the websites we see, that when we first see them, are DOA, dead on arrival, before you even start, and that's sad. So obviously many times they're invisible online or there's other problems. But one of the things that's more subtle to the uneducated eye is messaging. So oftentimes the messaging, we talked about the importance of branding and getting that down. And, you know, when we go through beyond the brand strategy, we often are involved in creating the messaging pillars and the message, the brand guidelines and the look and the feel and all that, which is a topic of last week's webinar. So we talked about that recently on a different webinar. But the point I want to make here is that as we get our messaging, once we have our brand guidelines, we have our messaging clear to ourselves, we need to go back to that website and see if it's clear there, because usually it's not, or oftentimes it's not. So many times we see websites that, for example, it's really clear. I'm like, oh, so you had an SEO guy recently, because every headline was written for SEO, not people. So that's like, oh yeah, how'd you know? Like, well, because every headline sounds like it's written for Google, not people. So we want to make sure we were writing for people. And the trick is, when you're doing websites, you need really expert writing. Writing is the most underestimated, abused category in the creative space. Everybody knows if it's pretty, but the writing is really what drives it. And so when we're writing, think about your audiences. So you have patients or families or both, depending on the specialty that you're in. You have referring doctors. You have current employees. I mean, you have a larger institution. You especially these days, in most of the professions we work in, recruiting is a huge issue. Dermatology, autism, different professions or specialties. Recruiting is really important. Dentistry. So that's also important when you're at scale. Alumni and advocates, for example, in addiction, and then Google. So you need, this is just, and if you're in a nonprofit, donors. So you have many audiences when you're writing, and you need to find a team that can write that sort of threads the needle to give all the audiences what they need. And it's just really vital to have that messaging right, to have the consistency there. Another topic I want to talk about, which is one of my favorites, is the minimum daily requirement. What does that mean, Stuart? And those of you that remember cereal commercials from the past, used to always talk about it has 100% of the minimum daily requirement for niacin. Okay, there you go. So when we're talking about multi-location marketing, we're talking about the minimum daily requirement, meaning thinking about every location you have is its own business. And this is one of the key factors when it comes to multi-location marketing that makes you unique. When we take on a new client, we don't have a new client. We have 100 new clients, right? They have 100 locations. We have a bunch of different locations. Each one has its own business. They have their own competitive set. They have their own services. They have their own unique characteristics and idiosyncrasies. So the more you get, the more important it is to think about this from a scaling point of view, because you can't, ideally, you would have a separate story for every single location. As you end up with dozens or more, that gets harder and harder, but you have to find a way to build that local appeal. And especially when we start talking about the promotion of on a very hyper-localized basis. So we're going to talk about in a few minutes here about, you know, the paid advertising. We're going to talk about local search. Just remember that each has its own business, its own location, its own competitive set. So we also therefore recommend that you think about your businesses. Each location deserves love. And if you don't think so, tell your doctor at location X, they don't deserve any love, right? Everybody deserves some love. So, and that means that really every location should have a minimum daily requirement budget to support it. So even if they're busy, I want to stress this, even if like, well, we're a dental practice and 80% of them are busy. Great. I love that. That's awesome. So if somebody's searching for dentists near me, do you want to be there or not? My argument is, even if you're busy, you want to have a reasonable amount of budget dedicated to every location because you want to be there. Otherwise, even if you're busy, otherwise your competitors are there and you're not. And that sets into a sea of events, things that you do not want long term. So I would start thinking about every location deserves a minimum daily requirement. So when we think that way, we say, okay, so what are the tactics? And we're going to cover some of these tactics in a moment. But, you know, we already discussed different pages or websites for each location. We're going to talk about local SEO, rep management a little bit, paid search. These are some of the things we have available to us. But when we work with a client, we'll often talk about their situation and we'll talk about these kinds of things. And we'll say, okay, well, what's a minimum daily requirement? We need to have at least X dollars per location. And so, you know, that depends. Do we want, and a lot of times we'll think through like the most important stuff. Well, I definitely want to show up on page one with Google. So let's do that. So then we'll say, okay, then let's look at local search and let's look, meaning both paid search and organic. What kind of budget is it going to take us to be in the game to show up in those most important searches? So at least we're there, even if we're busy. So that varies how much that money is, but the budget I'm going to use here right now is an example of $1,000. Let's say we decided that $1,000 per location is a reasonable budget. Now, the first thing is, and when you get to scale, that can be a big number, right? So if you have $33 a day, minimum daily requirement, $1,000 a month. So, but if you have 100 locations, it's $100,000 a month. So that works out to $1.2 million. And it's like, whoa, Stuart, what are you talking about here? Is that just sounds like a lot. Like, well, I don't know. Is it? Well, let's see. You have a, you know, let's pretend that the, in this case, sample case, the average location's revenue is $1 million, which is certainly not unrealistic for most locations we work with. So that's 1.2% of sales. Secondarily, we recommend looking at it from a return on investment. So if you're spending $100,000 a month, but you're bringing in $1 million a month, that's a pretty good deal, right? I'll play that card game all night. And the third category is, what are your competitors? Again, if you choose not to be there, if you choose not to be on page one of Google, your competitors will. So I would argue that you're looking at this from a conservative, protect your, I was going to use a different word, your budget, protect your location, because your competitors are eagerly hoping that you do nothing. So I would argue all day long that you need a minimum daily requirement. It doesn't have to be $1,000 necessarily. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But I also want to recommend that you consider that with the minimum is whatever you come up with is just the minimum. You may want to invest more, and we often do, on the underperforming locations, or if we have a new provider, a new PAs, or a new de novo, or we have priority service lines. So the concept is, again, how much you're going to invest per location on a monthly basis, and then from there, how are you going to promote locations additionally? So on the user journey then for local SEO, some of the things that, let's see, we're going to talk about here. This is still my section, Kathy, for a few more. I'm sorry, what?
One thing I want to add in really quick, and we get to this, but these local searches are happening already. So we just want to make sure we're visible and dominating in the markets that you serve for activity that is already ours. So anyway, back to you, Stuart. I just wanted to kind of hit that point.
Yeah. And so for the sake of time, I'm going to go pretty quickly. Again, we can't teach everything we know in a 45-minute webinar. So I'm going to just touch on these things. But you can see today that this user journey is extremely complex. And this is probably the topic of a future webinar, just to go into this in more detail. So yeah. Today we're focused on that point of action, the decision, you know, the landing pages, the paid search, paid, appointment setting. These are all different factors that we have to consider. But the first priority usually is to dominate page one of Google, right? We want to be there when the patient is actually searching. And this is a sample search that we did recently, spine surgeon in Irvine, California. And for those of you that don't live this every day, these are the paid search ads, also known as pay-per-click. That's one whole category of strategy. The second category over here is the Google profiles, not Google My Business. So the Google business profiles are here. This is what we also affectionately call the map pack. This is the natural search results, organic. And this is constantly changing right now. In fact, you have sort of an infinite scroll. It just keeps giving you more ads, more content, as opposed to page one. But we still usually refer to page one, even though there's an infinite scroll today, being, you know, before you get to the ads again. So it'll have ads, map pack, natural results, ads, then it kind of repeats again. So this game, this is mobile, and you can see how important the ads are, even more important here. We're going to cover today just two of these, the map pack, the local search, and the pay-per-click ads. So when it gets to the map pack, this is organic, meaning that you're not paying. Usually you can pay, you can upgrade with Google, but you're not usually paying for this. So the map pack is a completely separate game. So there's a specific algorithm for the map pack that you want to play. You absolutely want to rank here. And just recognize that Google has its own algorithm. This has its own set of rules. All three of these games have different rules. And which one do you want to be in? The natural section, the map pack, or the ads? I'm a pig. I want to be in all of them, right? I want to dominate that first page of Google. So just touching on this briefly, you want to make sure that you are you're very clear to Google what's going on. So you want to have consistent name, address, phone number, and website across all properties, not just Google profile, but other directories and other your landing page and so forth. You want to continually monitor and respond to reviews. You want to make sure you're thinking about the proximity in the search area. Some accoutrements like video and photos can help. Adding to your profiles. Google cares a lot about experience, expertise, authority, and trust. So how can you communicate that on the website and these properties? This is the focus of yet another webinar, just this one particular game. Some of the other recommendations we talk about is, you know, again, we mentioned the website, having strong content, very, very important. Having localized content on both the profile and the website. The whole Google business profile, claiming your profiles, optimizing them, creating a process to keep them up to date. These are, and then consistency across all directories. We do have a tool, like this is just one tactic of many within local search that can give you a sense of how you look to Google and other providers. So there's a little QR code. If you, while I'm talking here, you want to take a quick photo of that, or you know, you can take it when you watch the recording. But this will actually show you how you show up in Yahoo versus Bing versus Facebook or MapQuest or Google Business Profile. You want to be show up ideally, accurately, and consistently across everybody, everywhere. And typically, I don't know, Kathy, 60% of the time it's a mess when we do this. So it's really, really important.
The QR code on here will take you to our tool that will give you a similar report.
Kathy, this is a quick study.
Yep. So we just wanted to show you the granularity of just business profile tracking. We've got a group up in the Chicago market, Illinois, that's got over 40 locations. It's a behemoth to track this and monitor it and make sure that you're responding to reviews and providing feedback. So we just wanted to show you, you know, what our tracking proposition looks like. And then the next slide kind of denotes the summary of what we were able to achieve. New searches were up 21%, number of views, clicks to website. So this is all part of our, you know, surround sound marketing. We want to make sure that we're reaching them, we're engaging, we're eliciting response, and making sure that we're demonstrating that we, you know, we focus on patient care. So this is an important piece of your local strategy.
Very good. Sure. So paid search is, again, another way to dominate local search. You know, when I first started our own business, we immediately focused on SEO and paid search. And that's how, that was the nascent beginnings of our, you know, largest business was doing, practicing exactly what we preach. So I became expert at both SEO and paid search personally before I hired people that are even better. But these are the things that I love about paid search. Number one, it's immediate results. So you can begin and start getting calls and appointments within days. You can instantly rank above your competitors in the organic listings. You can generate highly qualified leads. So we typically focus our paid search or pay-per-click advertising at bottom of the funnel, people ready to buy, looking for a doctor near me kinds of terms. You can control everything, the geography, demographics, the time of day. You can test like crazy. And its budget is flexible. You can do it on a per location basis. It is so precise. It's really, another day I'll tell you when we have time about how just fantastic it is compared to marketing tactics of yore when everything cost $100,000 or $500,000 to test things. And now you can test in a matter of days. It's just a fantastic tool to supplement the Google local search. I'm not going to spend any time on this today at all. We just covered this a couple of weeks ago on paid search and how to play this, how to get the right location, the right keywords, the right copy. How do you work with AI? This is a big, big topic. How do you rate conversion rate optimization? Big, big topic. I do want to point out though, that one of the things we talk about a lot, this is a brand blog. And if you're curious, Kathy, actually, if you could find this on a blog, if you have a minute and at some point, or we'll send it to you at the end. On this concept, which is essentially when you start thinking about digital advertising, whether it's consumer demand, whether it's paid search or really any of these things, there, break it down this way. The first part of the puzzle is consumer demand. That's largely fixed, although you can change that with advertising, which we'll discuss in a minute. The campaign management is the part in the machine that that's the part that, you know, our engineers do or other engineers do to really play the pay-per-click paid search game, for example. But equally important to that is the landing page, where you're sending your traffic to. And then equally important to that is the conversion process. In other words, how do you actually handle those inquiries and book appointments? And the point I make with this is every single one of these categories is equally important, and it's multiplicative, meaning that if you do twice as well with your campaign management, your results will be twice as good. If you do twice as well with your landing page, your results will be twice as good. So if you're better at answering the phones with your contact center, your results will show. So this is really, really important to our results. And again, Kathy, I know I caught you off guard on that. If we don't have time for it, we'll just conclude that in the
put it in the chat.
Oh, great.
So if you want access to that blog, it's in the chat right now.
Good. So thank you, Kathy. That's great. Paid social. So we talked about paid search. We've talked about local SEO. paid social, predominantly most cases, is going to be focused on Facebook, Instagram, is a way of adding demand. So instead of looking for, think about it this way, with paid search and paid or local SEO, people are looking for you. They know they have a problem. They know they have a need. They're searching. Paid social is a way to reach out to people on a very calculated basis to your community around each location to get the word out. And it's an extremely cost-effective way of doing that. Now, again, there's another thing right now with the Facebook Pixel. So there's some big challenges here. We've removed the Facebook Pixel for the people that are more advanced on the call. So tracking due to HIPAA has become more difficult, but it's still a, and again, topic for yet another webinar. It's still a very powerful tool to get the message out on a very granular basis. When I'm talking about paid social here, not organic, organic is also important. Organic is something that you can do as a supplement, but if you're trying to get the word out, instead of reaching, you know, 1,000 maybe of people who already know you, you can reach immediately with paid social tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who don't know you. So we oftentimes are using paid social as a way of getting the word out in conjunction with organic search and in conjunction with paid search as a way of, again, if you think about what is our minimum daily requirement, we're giving each location love in a cost-effective way. And so this is just an example of a recent campaign we did with a highly successful client. And so typically doing a combination of static ads, video works better. So these days, most of our ads are going to be video. But again, it can be a combination depending on the situation. We're trying to win the war in the feed to grab attention. So it's really important to think through, okay, what is our strategy? How are we going to stand out from the crowd? Another very different campaign. This is for a maternal fetal medicine practice. Again, always thinking through how do you stand out in the feed. One of our recent webinars was about living brand and how do you stand out in the feed? How do you stay within your brand guidelines, but then also adapt to the realities of the social feeds, which are just, you know, world bazaars fighting for information or fighting for attention.
And then real quickly on that last social campaign, this is a maternal fetal medicine specialist, which is typically a subspecialty, very downstream referral provider. And we have been consumer direct for a number of years with them, getting on the radar of the voracious female searcher in fertility. So it's part of an overarching campaign and just a beautiful execution of our creative. So
as a reminder, it's about 44 minutes into the hour. So Kathy will give us about 5 or 6 minutes to cover the last few sessions, and then we'll have time for Q&A. Actually, Kathy, we'll probably go up to about 10 for these remaining slides.
All right, next. Perfect. So, and traditional advertising is an additional layer you can consider for localized marketing. There's some hub and spoke opportunities if you've got a number of locations that are in a specific geo or DMA. But if they're often a rural population, you've got direct mail. You've also got outdoors. So there are a variety of different localized tactics that you can layer onto a lot of the infrastructure that we've been talking about. Local events are also a great opportunity to be visible in the local community. It speaks volumes about your commitment to that community and also gets you an opportunity to get out and meet and greet with your local people. So these are layers that you can add in, but it's critical that you start with that infrastructure of the website, your local SEO, paid search, and paid social before you layer in traditional.
Right. Typically, this is not part of your minimum daily requirement. This is when you start expanding beyond that. So, and the external advertising particularly works well if you're in a marketplace where you have multiple locations within a given DMA. You start getting more cost effectiveness versus having one location and going on TV in New York is probably not going to be super cost effective for you.
And then building doctor referrals. I mentioned earlier that it's really important to diversify those channels, that you're not really putting all your eggs into one singular basket. And some groups that we work with have got a lot of relationships built with B2B opportunities. Some have zero. So it's important that you have a force out there, that you've got visibility within that B2B market. It's crucial for establishing trust and nurturing relationships. And it's exponential, obviously, versus getting one single new patient from a recruitment strategy versus getting a physician to start referring. We know how much grander that is in terms of volume of patients. Some of the things that reach these doctors, scalable content and digital marketing can support your sales efforts We act as the air war to your sales team. So B2B is about a relationship. It's like you're courting someone. So if you've got a relationship that's fractured, that's one approach. If you've never spoken to them before, it's another approach. So you want to really build out a strategy and make sure that you have a team that can effectively represent your brand. So your digital will leverage your rep's time. It's easy to track and attribute. It can look omnipresent and build the brand to a highly defined audience. And then content marketing, and content is king here, reinforces that brand, tells your story, and keeps you on the radar. So a combination of the two is a nice way to keep that brand visibility going.
Now, I just want to add something to clarify. Most of the larger, more sophisticated providers have physician liaisons. They're often called, we call them a salesperson or a physician liaison. And the physician liaison's job is to generate referrals. And back in the day, even hospitals did not do that. Today, specialty practices routinely have physician liaison teams. And again, I agree with Kathy, and we do this a lot, where the physician liaisons are out on the ground talking to doctors every day, but that's really hard to scale. And so we usually use the digital as a way of supporting their efforts so that we stay omnipresent in front of those referring HCPs. This is Kathy. This is your favorite topic. We'll be talking about that again someday. So let's talk about
it. We definitely need to have a webinar on B2B and then also patient experience. So, these are your most important assets. Businesses that prioritize internal marketing, patient experience, and patient-focused care have higher retention, higher referral rates. You have the 80-20 principle applies here in getting patients actively referring. You've got to stimulate that and reward that behavior. But your current patients are your best customers. You should be asking for referrals, executing recalls, and making sure they're coming back for their timely appointments, cross-selling additional services that you offer. Email campaigns will keep you on their radar and will do all that. Keep them away from the competition, reminded of services that you offer, and upselling additional services within the brand. Point of purchase signage is great. Again, education of all the diverse offerings that you have. Use local social media and reputation management also to help that communication, stimulate that communication, and get those advocates talking about you. So they have the opportunity to post reviews, as we know, and these reviews are critical. People often look at just the stars alone. So it's important that we take that strategy and campaign seriously. So we've got, and Stuart, you can weigh in on this a little bit. We recommend a variety of different platforms that we like to have our clients use. You want to monitor, solicit, and respond. So the different variety of platforms that we use depends on, a lot of clients come to us with a pre-existing reputation management strategy. Others, as I've said, don't have one. So we have a platform that we utilize that doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles, but it depends on the complexity of what you're trying to achieve with this review strategy. The baseline stars is critical, making sure that you're asking and that that's engaged. But there are additional layers that we can get into, but those platforms are a great way to do that.
Yeah, I'll just say that, to do reviews, and the names that are out there are common, and we'll probably yet another webinar with one of our friends in that space. But for today, I'm just going to say that most of our clients that are multi-location, they do have a platform for reputation. They're using reputation.com. They're using Yext or somebody else. We're familiar with all those and use Yext, for example, a lot. We have others that we use depending on the situation. So the reputation platform, though, is vital. It's such an important part of multi-location marketing. And it's just not realistic to try to do this on a onesie-twosie basis to be effective. And this is something that we often talk, when we talk about the direct, so those of you that are more sophisticated and are familiar with, for example, working with a platform like Yext for multi-location businesses, we oftentimes will partner with them. So it's throwing the ball back and forth to each other. We'll do our part, they do their part, and it's teamwork to keep this stuff up to date, to have the responses ready. In fact, Yext, for example, now has some AI response review stuff that you can use to manage. And so this gets complex pretty quickly. But it is really important that you have a strategy, you have a platform, that you manage the stuff like crazy. But then even with a platform, claiming those reviews on Google, claiming the listing on Google or at Microsoft Bing, or you're claiming it on Yelp. I mean, all of this is just complex. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. There is no easy solution. The platform is table stakes, but really we partner with our clients to maximize the value of this, because it's not about the platform. When you have one or two locations, the platform's really helpful. But when you get into big locations, it's a huge concerted effort and also a vital one. Right. And again, this is an example of one of the dashboards. This one happens to be Yext. These are the options that are out there to help manage reviews. And if you're interested in these kinds of topics, we're happy to talk to you in more detail.
Your online reputation is very much a part of your brand. So again, that's just critical that you manage and monitor that. And then analytics and reporting. It's important to have transparent reporting, making sure, again, that we're pulling in those stakeholders. Platforms form the foundation of data-driven success. You want to evaluate your data from all of your channels, Google, Bing, Facebook, and programmatic campaigns. Performance data continuously informs you what's working and what's not. As long as you're all aligned on your KPIs and you customize that dashboard based on what's important to you, testing, optimization, and analyzing those campaigns will ensure you maintain an optimal budget and be sure to target your best keywords. So important to track what's working and what's not and pivot accordingly.
I would say something here too. When we work with multi-location businesses and particularly private equity owned and also an addiction, for example, or the ones that have very high case sizes, they're often interested in not just tracking the cost per inquiry or the cost per conversion. They're interested in figuring out what's the ROI all the way back to the patient convert, become a patient, how much they spend. That is possible, and we like to do that. And so just recognize that that's the complexity skyrockets when you do that. And so, again, it requires teamwork on our team's part, our programmers' part. Oftentimes, we need a database in the middle there. You know, some people use Salesforce or different databases. So the reporting can get incredibly granular. It also gets more complex. So everybody deserves and everybody needs and everybody gets the location, the kinds of tracking that shows the cost per click, the cost per inquiry, the cost per, you know, all of those kinds of metrics. But in some cases, when especially when we have the budget and the complexity, we can go track it actually to the patient. So again, that's a topic for discussion if you're interested in that. So we did it, Kathy. I think we should give ourselves a high five virtually over here. 7 minutes to go, so we can either break early or if we have some questions, we're happy to respond to them now. So Kathy, can you check the lead, the question part?
Yes. I see one here that is how to determine brand resonance. So if you're looking at consolidating brands, the question is how to determine brand resonance. And I think, you know, to answer that and Stuart, weigh in as well, I think it's a combination of factors. You definitely want to take a look at your online footprint, but there are other factors that impact your brand resonance, your B2B partnerships and relationships, your reputation in the medical community. So you would want to do due diligence and research, and we can certainly help with that. But it's important that you don't sacrifice a strong brand for a weaker one as you're setting up your strategy.
So another question is, where do I start? And that's certainly an understandable sentiment, right? Like we just hit with drinking out of a fire hose. So it depends on the situation with the client, but the way we would typically handle that is there's really, rather than start with one piece of the puzzle or the other and just sort of navigate through, we usually start with the big picture. So when we have the luxury, we recommend starting with a marketing audit discovery plan. And the metaphor is this is the equivalent of a patient history exam, diagnosis and treatment plan. And that's really the best place to start. So usually if you're new to the multi-location marketing and you're looking at where do we start, we would want to start off by interviewing all the stakeholders, doing the competitive due diligence on what's happening competitively. We typically recommend reviewing all the different platforms you have. Do you have a local platform, a reputation platform? Do you have paid search? Do you have paid social? You know, what we would audit, or at least do a mini audit on the website. So we want to identify all, do a really thorough workup. And then we come down to, and we look at all the typical things like budgeting and target audiences and differentiation and positioning and all those things. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we recommend putting your marketing plan and organizing it. Oftentimes when we're doing that, we do it based upon what we call the six major strategies. So we look at, okay, what is your brand strategy? Like what are those typical issues? The second category would be digital marketing. which is what everybody's interested in these days. So certainly digital strategies, and that's everything digital, really. So it's not, it's the whole gamut. Third category would be traditional advertising, if that's applicable. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Fourth category, very, very importantly, is doctor referral building. And so most agencies don't even think about that. And that's, you know, for a lot of our businesses, that's number one most important. So doctor referral building is really crucial. And so that would be another whole category of strategies to be thinking through. The fifth category is patient experience and internal marketing. Again, that's like, it's a lot more than just pay-per-click advertising if you're trying to be successful. So thinking through, how does that work? How does that fit? And then finally, the other strategy, which is sort of a broad one, would be public relations. And that could include community events. That could include, you know, getting local press, you know, reputation, all these kinds of topics. So those are really the best place to start in many cases. Where we really want, and that's also, by the way, the marketing planning process is a fantastic way to involve your stakeholders. Like we were talking about earlier with our funny little slide from, by the way, I'm going to give credit to Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein, where you grab that photo from. Because when you're doing that, legitimately, your stakeholders deserve to be heard. They deserve to have input. And so this way, you can get their input, congeal it, and get everybody's, it's not so much a vote, but get everybody's input and then come back with a rational, smart plan of attack based upon everybody's input and come back with a very clear consensus on what we should do. So that's usually the first step if we have the luxury. Now, some people say, I don't have a lot of time for that. Can you just help me take over my pay-per-click campaign? Or can you help us with SEO? Yeah, we can. And we do all the time. And that's certainly a valid thing to do. But if you're asking, where do I start? Usually, especially if you're taking over, like let's say you're a new executive for a multi-location business, or you just did a bunch of acquisitions, you know, it's like A Sound of Music. Start at the, I'm not going to sing it, but let's start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. So that's where you would start. Kathy, there's another question or two.
Well, there's actually quite a few. There's several questions on elaborating on digital marketing tactics for referrals. So we can address that, but we will plan to have a B2B webinar because it's a very complex answer. It depends on the list, depends on targeting. The granularity of targeting for digital is crazy what you're able to drill down into. So we will have a follow-up webinar on that, but
I'll say this to tease the audience so those don't know. Today with list partners, like for example, we work with IQVIA as another friend of ours. You can target based upon what they're prescribing, what they're diagnosing, and how they're treating. So you can target and figure out which orthopedic surgeons you need to talk to or which primary care businesses are doing all the business. And then from there, we're often doing a layer of content and advertising to reach out to those communities. So that's a huge topic. And we do have an old webinar for day if you want to watch it. It's outdated now about marketing doctors during COVID. That actually came out in the middle of COVID or the very beginning of COVID. But we're updating that in a couple of months. So it's a big topic. And if you're interested in that more specifically, and you know, I want to drill down with us, you can contact us through the information up here and we can talk to you more about it. What's the next one?
Your list and targets are key. So it's important that you figure that out on the front end. Reporting platforms. What are a few of the reporting platforms you use that pull in data from various analytics programs? They struggle with having to interpret data from multiple sources and often overwhelm the C-suite when presenting marketing data. We've been in that role.
We use a platform specifically designed for agencies. And so that's out there. It's called Agency Analytics. You can look it up. I think it's an agency-only platform. We use that one as one of ours that we will pull all of our information together. There's lots of them out there. There's NinjaCap. There's different platforms out there. It's not so much, the key here on this kind of stuff is having, I'll give you this hint. It's not about the platform. It's about having a partner who really cares about accuracy and is really passionate, because this stuff gets really complex really fast. And so like with our firm, we don't just have, people that are expert at the paid search and the paid or all these different advertising tactics. But we also have, you know, people that are analytics specialists. So our lead in analytics came to us from Google. We also, Natanya, who did the quick little intro when we first started, is fantastic at this. And they are absolutely passionate about making that data good, because it's one thing to have data. It's another to have accurate data. And this gets complex really fast. I alluded to, and we're doing a webinar about some of the challenges with the HIPAA coming up here in a few weeks talking about that. You know, it's like having the right data is absolutely essential, and it gets complex. So even going all the way back to, you know, Google Analytics versus, you know, there's challenges there because Google won't sign a BA, BAA. So, but having the right platform matters. I just gave you a couple platforms. There are others out there. Again, I would just caution you. It's the platform is important, but so are the people who put the data into it and set it up appropriately. It's really easy to make mistakes, and then you're making bad decisions based on bad data.
Very good. It looks like we got, there's one more question on disapprovals that we will chat a response to. You'll have a link that Natanya will send to you about that process. And if you want to have a longer conversation, you can reach back out and we'd be happy to answer any additional questions you have.
Yeah. If you want, if you're interested in doing business with us, which, you know, we hope some of you are, always is fun. It's a fun bonus here. Yeah. If you're interested in partnering with us, I would just reach out to us. Our contact information is there. This is what we do every day. We are absolutely expert. I'll put us up against anybody on the planet. We're happy to help you if you guys are interested. So it's been great work with you today. Hopefully these insights were helpful to you. We really wanted to primarily share with you the insights and the sort of war stories that we reach out to every day. And we're happy to talk to you and look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Thanks so much.